Temna zvezda. Oddaja o filmu in skritih straneh filmskega vesolja. Vsak prvi in tretji ponedeljek v mesecu ob 8:30 zvečer.
Lepo pozdravljeni v novi temni zvezdi, v kateri bomo tokrat diagonalno pregledali filmske dogodke v mesecu maju, pri čemer bomo slednje le poskušali postaviti v širši interpretativni kontekst. Pa kar začnimo. Že v prejšnji temni zvezdi smo poročali, da bo kinoteka maja v znamenju popolne retrospektive del Dušana Makavejeva. Ta se bo pričela jutri ob 21. uri po izteku Vigojeve Atalante, nove kinotečne pridobitve, katere projekcija bo štartala ob 7. uri. Atalanto, brezčasno ljubezensko zgodbo, lahko označimo za enega najlepših filmov vseh časov, z izjemnim vplivom na tlakovanje kreativnih mozaikov francoskega filma, vključujoč slog poetičnega oziroma črnega realizma, katerega predstavniki so po besedah Davida Parkinsona skušali pokazati, da je v življenjih slehernikov najti prav toliko poezije in drame kot v buhtečih razkošnih hollywoodskih filmih. Pričujoči Vigojev film, tako rekoč sinteza njegove, spriča bolezni žal prekmalu končane ustvarjalne poti, pa je močno vplivala tudi na francoski novi val, pri čemer naj bi François Truffaut po ogledu filma pri svojih 14. bojda dejal: "Ko sem vstopil v kinodvorano, nisem vedel, kdo je Jean Vigo, a potem sem bil iznenada vzhičen, ves prežet nad njegovim entuzijazmom, ki ga je izkazoval do svojega dela." A vrnimo se vnovič k Dušanu Makavejevu. Otvoritev Makavejeve retrospektive skupinskega projekta Slovenske kinoteke in Dunajskega Osterreichisches Filmmuseum bo jutri potekala ob avtorjevi navzočnosti. Odprla pa se bo z WR Misterijem organizma, torej z enim od najznamenitejših predstavnikov Črnega vala, tako rekoč ustvarjalna kulminacija specifične Makavejeve metode filmskega kolaža oziroma filma eseja. Makavejev pa se bo domačemu občinstvu predstavil tudi z nastopom na sredini kinodvorovi okrogli mizi z naslovom Razpad Jugoslavije na filmu, estetika in ideologija jugoslovanskem in postjugoslovanskem filmu. Rdeča nit pogovora, ki se bo v kinodvoru pričel ob 21. uri in na katerem bodo poleg Makavejeva kot gosta večera sodelovali še Lana Zdravković, Nikolaj Jeffs, Nil Baskar, urednik monografije ter moderator Denis Valič, bo predstavitev nove kinotečne knjižne izdaje knjige Pavla Levija Razpad Jugoslavije na filmu Disintegrations in Frames, ki tematizira vselej zmozljivo razmerje med estetiko in ideologijo jugoslovanskem in postjugoslovanskem filmu. Pa še mi pristavimo naš piskrček Makavejevemu obisku. Prisluhnimo krajšim zvočnim posnetkom spletnega kanala YouTube, v katerih se nam bo vsaj malo razkril režiser, začenši z odstiranjem produkcijskega zakulisja sladkega filma. Prvega filma, ki ga je Makavejev posnel onkraj jugoslovanskih meja, med drugim se je snemal v Amsterdamu in Parizu s tujim denarjem. Film sicer obdeluje znani Makavejev motiv seksualnega osvobajanja, ki pa je postavljen v širši družbeno-kulturološki kontekst. V njem pa so sodelovali na primer Pierre Clementine, John Vernon in drugi.
Because we had this co-production that was actually created after Belgrade, but I could not work. It was like everything became suddenly impossible. So I was forced to move. We already had agreement between German and French partner to be partners in the film. So we just moved the whole production into France. Louis Malle was one of the authors who went to Yugoslavian embassy to protest about my being threatened by jail. And Pasolini was the one in Rome, and Bertolucci was in America at the time. He called Yugoslavian embassy Washington to try to defend me from something more serious. What they did, it was not with me, with also three or four other filmmakers. They would take passports from all writers whom they don't like to They wanted them not to feel as afraid as they think, so to think before writing. But speaking of filmmakers, just not to get protest letters. They let us keep our passports, so we just left. Some people moved to Paris, some people moved to Germany. And I already had written script. When I was forced to switch the story to different territory, we got story for Sweet Movie. That was initially a story about one woman who goes through all kind of transformations, and then it ended with actually two women who are like representing two models for a modern woman to live in the world. One was romantic, say Soviet style, and another was more commodity-wise, market-oriented, etc.
Kako pa Makavejev vidi vlogo in pomen scenarija, sploh glede na dejstvo, da so Makavejevi filmi odeti v auro izrazite avtorske svobode in improvizacije tako imenovanega modernega filma? Prisluhnimo režiserju z zavestjo, da gre za odgovor prvenstveno osredine na sladki film, upoštevajoč tudi venomer na vse pomemben okvir širšega produkcijskega sistema.
Everybody believes that like kind of anything works with me. That's not true. Script has to be the basis that will give us chances to create, to experiment. Idea was that the leading actors will have this incredible lovemaking in Red Lights District in Amsterdam. And the sailor who was supposed to be Marlon Brando, and we even talked to Marlon Brando's agent, that he would come to have sex with her, and she would tell him, look, I'm very dangerous, and especially if I fall in love, I kill. So you will not stay alive if you make love to me. And he says, I don't care, I just want you. And the idea was that actually there's this blood, you know, massacre that happens as a culmination of love, and then you see both of them flying towards the sun. That was the script as it was written. But we could not rent one single shop there, because whole Red Light District is under control of mafia. And if whoever comes to shoot, camera ends in canal. So we realized that we cannot shoot. But everything was already planned and even written for the boat that would become at the end of the film like an ambulance for sexual proletarians, when all Yugos and Greeks and Turks would come to get free sex. And when we realized that we cannot shoot there, we decided to rent a boat that can go through canals. And we got the boat that really became a very central, big participant in the movie. There was a lot of collage technique even in the producing scenes. What was important is that we changed the scene, that we don't spend more money. Because I knew that within the production plan, if I change scenes within the budget, or even saving money with some changes, I make it more visual but less expensive, that I can get along with the any kind of production system. You know, production system is always very hard and difficult because films are expensive. But we really worked developing more and more things that were not expensive. We got this commune, the core of the Otto Mills commune from Vienna. Unfortunately, in the film, I thought it would not be intelligent that I now explain everything. So when Miss World arrives catatonic to the commune, they obviously look like some anarchistic bums. As soon as they get into the therapeutic scenes, it became offensive for some.
Vendar na bi bila prav ta naratološka točka v skladju z Makavejevo genealogijo aluzije na Wilhelma Reicha, pri čemer pa Makavejev spregovori še o pomenski arbitrarnosti humorja, pa tudi o problematike reprezentacije zgodovine oziroma Makavejev samo posnetku.
They do some kind of nasty, say infantile, anarchistic games. But then they start kind of swallowing everything and then throwing up, etc. It was quite unpleasant to watch, but there was also some kind of unwritten agreement that I will respect what they do. So they gave us a lot of material that if I had more time, but we promised to have film for Cannes, and it was like already very close. I could not really find something, you know, change enough. So I let film be free for a while. Third part of the film took over and became more free than I would think. There are some jokes that I discovered some people don't get. Now, in some countries, people are very familiar with Lenin's face and or so people know what is Marx and what is Lenin or and who started World War One. And we understand this guy who has this pipe, he knows nothing about history or anything. But to explain that, I feel it's like trying to explain to people who was Tutankhamun or who was Hitler.
He's the guy that shot the Russian Tsar, yeah, shot him dead right in the head. Yeah.
It's always dangerous to deal with these films dealing with the past if we are too serious. If you're not serious, people don't care, you know. You remember on the wall, I had a poster, and there was Marlon Brando and Trotsky and Lenin, and I mixed them just to show that they all belong to, like, teenagers' room with posters.
V sladkem filmu izjemno pomembno vlogo igrajo taktilne teksture podob. Morda gre celo za Makavejev vizualno najbolj bogat film, a kako je sploh prišlo do vzpostavljanja tovrstnih podob?
Started first with my program for the images, for pictures, was I said to the cinematographer that I want a love letter to Kodak. So I wanted yellow to be yellow and blue and green, colors to be crisp and clear as Kodak colors are. I wanted to have this kind of sensual feeling of colors. And then, of course, there was these textures that I was always taking care of, but like in black and white films, early films, I could not do it well because we got only this rough feeling of black and white.
A to je bila le drobna slušna drobtinica, radijska blazinica nad vse kratkega uvoda, na okus dana začimbico samo svojo poetiko Dušana Makavejeva, morda celo najbolj nenavadne figure novovalovskega novega filma, ki je skozi specifično rabo metafore, s postavitvijo sebi lastnih, izrazito svežih zvočno-vizualnih ekonomij pogleda, pogumno kritično preproševal tedanji družbeni čas, tako rigidne lokalne družbeno-politične strukture, kot tudi tiste prihajajoče zahoda. V zvezi z idejnimi tendencami, glede na refleksijo takratnega prostora, pa prisluhnimo kar Makavejevu, pri čemer gre za besede, ki jih je leta 1972 izrekel za dansko televizijo.
I found that probably in my own youth I wanted political life to be more alive, more full of humor. I believe in socialist ideas, so I just wanted that this fight for these ideas to be more close to the human interest. So it means not to be given in a very dull lectures or dull programs, so to be more alive, more witty.
Glede na to, da se bo jutrišnja retrospektiva otvorila z WR misterijem organizma, ki po Jožetu Dolmarku nekako zaključuje herojsko obdobje jugoslovanskega novega filma, saj so bili tovrstni filmi v letu 1972 označeni za črne, misterij organizma je bil prepovedan, Petrovič in Pavlovič nagnana z akademije, Makavejev pa prisiljeno k znanstvo. Več o ideji misterija organizma, ki je po Dolmarku najbolj radikalen primer Makavejevega kolažno-esejističnega postopka in ki torej spričo najrazličnejših okoliščin postane tudi režiserjev najbolj prepoznaven film, pa tudi razlog za njegovo karierno znanstvo, režiser.
One of the ideas that I tried in Mysteries, WR Mysteries of the Organism, was kind of idea of a liberate film as a liberating trap. And I believe that if we organize, let's say, sequence of shots and events and emotions in such a way that people are just being unable to stop following the film, following the story, following their own emotions, so that that film can lead them even to the field or to the sphere where they never go otherwise. Let's say more in morally or ethically or. So that they film can help them to be trapped in their own liberation. To now, what happened actually with the film? I discovered that sometimes this trap worked a different way. So we were trapped in their own aggression that was liberated by the work of the film. Initially, I believed that film just will liberate people to be more joyful, more open.
But the first layer, as Reich said in The People, behind the facade is layer of aggression. So it, in many places it happened that film worked beautifully, but film were just unable, people were unable to control their aggressive feelings, and they start acting against the film, even if it was not, they just were throwing out their irrationalities.
Tako, nekaj resnično malega smo spregovorili o Dušanu Makavejevu kot primeru poskusa spodbude za vaše nadaljne raziskovanje del tega izvrstnega ustvarjalca, čigar filme si boste torej lahko ogledali v kinoteki. Mi pa nadaljujemo z diagonalnim pregledom še drugih filmskih dogodkov. Med 7. in 21. majem bo v Zagrebu potekal že 4. Subversive Film Festival, o katerem smo na Radio Študent tudi v temi zvezdi obširno poročali že minula leta. Naslovna tema letošnjega festivala bo dekolonizacija nove emancipacijske borbe, festival pa bo, kot že vsa leta, razdeljen na filmski in tako imenovani teoretski del. V tednu med 7. in 14. majem si boste v kinodvoranah Evropa in Toškanac lahko ogledali širok nabor filmov tako imenovane tretje in četrte kinematografije, torej indijske in afriške kinematografije ter postkolonialni etnografski film. Organizatorji festivala so tako v svojem programskem listu zapisali, da bo afriški film predstavljen v dveh programskih etapah. Najprej si bomo lahko na primer ogledali pionirska dela Diobrila Diopimetija, Meda Honda in Osmane Sambeneja. Sledila bo sekcija sodobnega nigerijskega videofilma, tako imenovanega Nollywooda, kot primera druge največje filmske industrije na svetu, takoj za Bollywoodom. Hollywood je šele na tretjem mestu. Sicer pa tudi indijski film bo predstavljen v dveh programskih etapah. Ogledali si bomo lahko filme po doseženi neodvisnosti oziroma po letu 1947, kjer pa gre za tako imenovano indijsko filmsko zlato obdobje. V drugem programskem sklopu indijskega filma se bodo zvrstili avantgardni in postavantgardni filmi novega indijskega filma. Kar pa se tiče sekcije etnografskega filma, naj opozorimo, da se bo v njej zvrstilo več kot 70 filmskih naslovov različnih dolžin in žanrov. Poleg omenjenih programskih filmskih sekcij se bo zgodila še filmska šola, ki bo letos potekala v znamenju tematizacije postkolonialnega filma, razdeljena pa bo na predavanja in panele. Zadnji teden, to je med 15. in 21. majem, se bo v kinu Evropa odvijala mednarodna konferenca z naslovom Nove emancipacijske borbe ter drugi spremljajoči se dogodki, na katerih se bodo zvrstili gostje kot so Antonio Negri, Terry Eagleton, Zygmunt Bauman, David Harvey, Gaetari Spivak, Slavoj Žižek, Samir Amir in mnogi drugi. Več o festivalu pa na www.subversivefilmfestival.com. Svetlobno hitrostjo se približuje tudi nova edicija mednarodnega filmskega festivala Kino Otok. Da, prav ste slišali, Kino Otok številka 7 se bo novič odvijal na pragu poletja. To je med 8. in 12. junijem. Če pa vas zanima otoško prostovoljstvo, ki zajema nabor različnih organizacijskih profilov, se javite na info@afnaisolacinema.org. Za več podrobnosti ucrfajte na festivalsko spletno stran www.izolacinema.org. Vihramo še naprej po novičarskih filmskih tirnicah. V četrtek, 5. maja, štartamo 7:30 zvečer, si boste lahko v Mostovni ogledali projekciji dokumentarnih filmov Anje Medved, z njo pa se bo pogovarjala Katarina Brešan. Več na www.mostovna.com/program. Vstop prost. V nedeljo, 8. maja, se bo ob 21. v mezi pri Koriti odvijala nova edicija serialke Doku Elze. Slednja bo tokrat potekala na temo množičnih medijev. Vstop je, kot običajno, prost. V torek 10. maja se v knjižnici Šiška obeta tretje predavanje Škratove filmske šole, na kateri se bo občinstvu predstavil Andrej Tomažin s predavanjem The Revolution Will Not Be on YouTube, spletni video strežniki, avtorstva in mehanizmi regulacije, ki se bo ukvarjalo s spletnimi videostrežniki v največjem obsegu prav stranjo YouTube, ki je svojo razširjenostjo in gledanostjo tudi najbolj zanimiva za raziskovanje, zlasti z vidiko emancipacije in revolucije, avtorstva ter regulacije. Predavanje se bo pričelo ob 19:30 zvečer, več pa na www.fimuthe.org, vstop prost. Dan kasneje, to je v sredo 11. maja, se bo odvil še en zanimiv filmsko-teoretski dogodek. Nov kulturološki filmski večer filmskega seminarja Društva kulturologov, ki je letos potekal v znamenju prepraševanja koncepta užitka. Ob 20. uri se boste v Gromki tako lahko ogledali film z Bogom Las Vegas, Majka Figisa, pri čemer bo narativne središče v psihoanalitski okvir postavila doktorica Jela Krečič oziroma, kot lahko preberemo, programski najavi dogodka. Predavanje bo poskušalo odgovoriti predvsem na dve vprašanji. Kakšna je struktura užitka in kako je ta užitek povezan s smrtjo subjektja? Vstop je seveda prost, več o filmskem seminarju pa na spletnem naslovu kulturološkega društva kult.com http://new.kultko.org/ ter na spletni strani kluba Gromka. Če pa v svet filma radi vstopate skozi knjige, naj vas opozorimo, da se pri Društvu za širjenje filmske kulture Kino nedavno izdali kar nekaj zanimivih naslovov. O filmu Brehta, Kino Integral, zbornik s prispevki o zgodovini slovenskega eksperimentalnega filma, pri čemer sta recenzije omenjenih publikacij v režiji Jana Adlešiča in Bora Pleteška dosegljivi tudi na radijski spletni strani. Pri omenjenem društvu pa sta šli še dve pomembni deli, monografija Prizorišče odpora, sodobni dokumentarni film in zagate postdokumentarne kulture Andreja Špraha ter kinematografska pripoved Žaka Ranciera. Oba smo na pričujoči radijski frekvenci že predstavili. Seveda pa ob naštetem ne pozabite še na redne periodične izdaje revije Ekran, nova številka bo na voljo 3. maja dalje ter na majsko številko novega kinotečnika, tudi že dosegljivega. Preden pa se danes od vas poslovimo, naj vas spomnimo še na en filmski dogodek, sicer zvezdniški, pa vendar. Med 11. in 22. majem se bo tako odvijal že 64. Kanski filmski festival, na katerem se bo zvrstilo kar nekaj težko pričakovanih filmov, avtoric in avtorjev. Tako so svoje projekcije med drugim potrdili Naomi Kavaze, Čelan, Brata Darden, Pedro Almodovar, Aki Korizmaki, Nani Moreti, Lars von Trier, Bruno Domoga, Svan Sand, Kim Ki-duk, Woody Allen, po šestih letih pa se z The Tree of Life, pa je zgodba o odraščanju dečka Jacka iz Midwesta vrača tudi Terence Malick. Oziroma več omenjenem filmu, Alexander Depla, francoski filmski skladatelj, ki je z Malickom tudi sodeloval pri omenjenem filmu.
Working closely with Terence in Austin, in Texas. We had a piano in the editing room, and I would just, I'm not a pianist, but still I can play piano a little bit. So we would wander around the ideas. He would show me scenes, many hours of dailies, because I guess he must have shot 20 days of dailies or so. The amount of footage is incredible. The important thing for me, as I just said, was to see, to be able to watch some footage, because if you know Terence Malick's cinema, every single shot is of pure beauty. Could it be the angle, could be the light, the way he makes the actors move slowly, out of focus or out of frame. It's fantastic. And this new thing will be so beautiful, so nice. And it's a deep story about love and about how you transmit love through your family, from the parents to the children, and the evolution of mankind since the creation.
Heavy things.
Yes. But heavy things with everyday life things, that's the great idea that Terence has been working on. we see a family in the 50s in Texas in their everyday life. But there's more, of course, more connection to the big picture.
Glede na to, da gre za eno bolj izmuzljivih person ameriškega filma, ki je uspelo ohraniti dobršno mero avtorske svobode, je zanimanje za peti režiserov film v karieri pa morda le nekoliko medlejšem novem svetu iz leta 2005, katerega je sicer moč razumeti kot primer metateksta njegovim preostalim trem filmom, izvrstnim Badlands, Days of Heaven in The Thin Red Line, še toliko večje. Bo Meliku v pričujočem filmu tako le uspelo na novo prepihati svoj prepoznavni estetski kredo, rabe specifične eliptične pripovedne strukture, žabe perspektive kamere, uporabe voiceoverja oziroma redkosti dialogov, neizrečeno je pomembnejše od izrečenega, ter za njegove filme pregovorno izvrstne fotografije. Verjamemo, da si bomo kmalu lahko ogledali omenjeni film, pri čemer pa upamo, da le ne bomo razočarani. Če pa slučajno bomo, je z nami še vedno omenjena trojica filmov, ki se jih še dan danes natančno spomnimo, če tudi smo se jih ogledali že precej dolgo nazaj, pri čemer pa se iskreno ne moremo odločiti, kateri od njih nam je ljubši. So to morda Badlands, The Thin Red Line ali pa Days of Heaven. S tem pa smo počasi prišli do konca današnje oddaje, ki sem jo pripravila Nina Cvar, za tehnično realizacijo pa je poskrbel Valik Santonijo.
It was not true that we didn't use lights. I mean, the interiors almost always had lights. There are a number of scenes that were done under cover of shade or inside a barn that had a north light, a very soft light that remained constant. But, you know, any time you see an extended scene where you have a dramatic light coming in, like a window or something like that, in order to maintain the continuity of that light, it has to be an artificial light because the sun is constantly moving. The exteriors on Days of Heaven were largely available light, and they were shot in backlight. So when you're shooting in backlight, not only do you get the rim around the head that is very dramatic, and the sun hitting the ground behind you is very bright, but the light doesn't change. As long as you keep it in backlight, the light on the front of the face is going to be very down and soft. Now what happens normally is traditionally cameramen will fill very softly the front of the face in backlight so that the back won't overexpose too much, won't burn out. A lot of times we were shooting in the wheat fields or in ground that was already brightly lit, so you got a certain amount of bounce light coming up off the ground that filled in the face and gave very beautiful natural kind of highlights. If you had supplemented that by extra artificial light, it would have washed it out. So a lot of the very delicate highlights that you see on the faces in backlit scenes that are so effective, that make it seem so real, would not have been there had Nesser used supplemental light. The fact that the light was constantly changing is not really a crucial element because the film not only is impressionistic, but there are very few lengthy scenes. And a lot of the scenes were actually done late in the afternoon, if not at magic hour. And so sometimes in the middle of the day, when the light was pretty much overhead and was not very beautiful to shoot, we would either shoot under cover in a barn or a north light situation, or we would rehearse three or four scenes. We would position where we thought the camera would go, drive a stake in the ground, rehearse the scene, pick the lens, get everything ready. If it were dolly, we would lay the dolly track, this all during the height of the day. And then when the sun started to drop and we got closer to the magic hour, we would run like hell from one place to another. Terry had the actors rehearsed The camera moves were all planned. We knew what we were doing, and we would like do one or two takes here, then we'd move the camera one or two takes here. And with that long twilight magic hour in southern Alberta in summer, we would have like a 40-minute magic hour period instead of 12 or 15 minutes. And we were able to, you know, shoot a number of scenes every night that way. At that time, there was no film that was directly balanced for daylight. When you shot in daylight, you had to use a warming filter. The film was balanced for tungsten light at 3200 Kelvin. So you always had this sort of salmon-colored filter when you went outside. And that took up almost a full stop of light. Now, as it got darker and you ran out of light, you could pull that filter out and gain extra shooting time. And that's what we did a lot of times. And that's why a lot of the scenes are so very, very deeply blue. Not only is it because the sky was blue in that lake, but when you pulled that filter, it intensified the blue even more. We shot a number of days well after sunset, well after the normal magic hour. And of course, as the sun sets in the west, the western sky is the last to lose even the deep blue light. And Nesta would keep shooting well after the light meter would indicate, you know, there's nothing left. And Terry would always encourage, Nesta, let's just shoot it. You know, I mean, it's just a shot. Let's shoot. Who knows what it's going to, maybe it'll be great. And a lot of times it was. A lot of times the stuff would come back and we could barely see each other, but and there was no detail in the actors, but the sky behind had enough to silhouette them.
Temna zvezda. Oddaja o filmu in skritih straneh filmskega vesolja. Vsak prvi in tretji ponedeljek v mesecu ob 8:30 zvečer.